ます。
あれ、なんで、主婦やのとは、ね、家にもちげえ、もんなもん。やったんはこれ、そのうち、たがのときへ、かっちゃうからね、たがのときに、なんでちげえ、ちへ、今日はすみじゃ、すみじゃ、どんわだ、ちゃわ、しようさ、どんわだ、ちゃわ、すみじゃ、すみじゃ、てわだ、でんぼる、でんぼだ、でんぼるしよう、で、でんぼだけちぎんせんべげ、らさん、えでね、ね、で、な、すみじゃ、たんじゃ、てぎだ、ちゃわ、된다리야심지가늦지니야하네에고유동화저주여시타바다탐지기고마투버쇼세지야하네에뭐냐고그랬스아저기이니게뭐람자노저기최대로통화됐당부당번에뭐람자야다니네바람뭐람자야다타마치기는차야되는지은디니게겨울사샤되지我身边肯定是的，在车上三九国贸特别吃多，反正哎，三九国贸特别九九二小什么家伙的，是第一个吸气吧？
嗯，对对对，对了，今天。So this morning we started to look at this prayer that is composed by Lama Tsongkhapa. We spoke about the meaning of the first homage and then the first verse. And here.Lama Tsongkhapa at the beginning of his prayer is encouraging us to generate an altruistic motivation or a purest of minds. And the meaning then of an altruistic motivation is it's a mind that wants to be of greatest benefit to others, and it comes through the generation of the understanding that all sentient beings, ourselves and all beings without exceptionwant to experience only lasting, stable happiness, and to be completely free from all forms of suffering and misery, whether they're subtle or coarse. No one wants to experience any problems or difficulties at all. And under the influence of this mind, the mind of altruism, this mind that takes responsibility for the welfare of others is generated.And taking responsibility for the welfare of others means seeing as one's own responsibility being able to become the most skilled of guides so as to lead beings, to teach beings, to train beings in how to cultivate the minds of the minds that lead to liberation and enlightenment within themselves. So that is the meaning of an altruistic mind or the purest of minds.And this should be done at the beginning of our activities, our virtuous activities, during our activities, and at the end when it comes to dedicating. And now just to add something that Gendo said this morning, right at the end that I forgot to translate, this understanding, this motivation that we cultivate should be cultivated in conjunction with our understanding of emptiness, and the emptiness of the three spheres, or the emptiness of the threefold conception.So that means we should generate this motivation, maintain this motivation, and when we dedicate this motivation, do so with an understanding that the object, the activity, and the agent are all empty of inherent existence. So the object, in this case, would be enlightenment. So that is empty of inherent existence.As is the action, which means this mind that is dedicating, this mind of motivation, etc. This is the activity, and that too is empty of inherent existence. As is the agent, in this case, the person who's generating the motivation, is empty of inherent existence. So this understanding of emptiness should be conjoined.With the altruistic mind.
Na, na zang an zu kare chi ore la na, kang an zu ki, chik chue ya wot nyam lin che wa la, dien che wa chen chik ugu wa dien che wa chen. Dien ki dien che wa chen, dhubi che do, mo lam che di, di kwa shu ya de.
We'll continue looking at the text and now the next verse. This is about the need to have a suitable.Basis for our Dharma practice to be effective. For we need a suitable basis in order to be able to continue our spiritual development.
I think it is. Dani, Kishin Kiawa, Tamjedo, Mansong, Andro, Lobertunway, Kine, Namso, Namia, Mikishin,
The second verse, life after life, may I never be born into realms of great suffering or unfavorable circumstance, but gain always a precious human form, blessed with every conducive provision. This then is a second a level of prayer that Jerubiche is making.
So, just to translate again
this previous comment. The second verse then is a prayer, an aspiration being made by Lama Tsongkhapa. When earlier we looked at the difference between prayer and dedication. So this again is a prayer. So here then, what we're looking at in this verse is that ourselves, just like all sentient beings, want to experience lasting happiness, happiness that is never interrupted by even a moment of suffering or displeasure or frustration. And in order to achieve a state of lasting, stable happiness, we need to continue to develop our minds. And the most skillful of techniques for mental development is through the Buddha Dharma. This is the only solution to our situation that we find ourselves in, the situation of being perpetually where we're suffering is we always are in a situation where suffering can happen and be experienced. And the Buddha Dharma is the only final or ultimate solution to the situation we find ourselves in. Other than mental development, there is no material solution to always being under the threat of impending suffering, of unwanted circumstances coming our way. So whilst in the material world, there are material solutions to cause suffering, and these are effective, and we should employ these, such as following advice from a skilled doctor and taking the prescribed medicine, and other kind of material solutions to our gross suffering. We do need these, and we should engage in these. But these, though, cannot change our way of thinking. They cannot reduce the power of our previously accumulated negative karma, nor our variety of afflicted minds, such as anger and attachment. So it's only the Buddha Dharma that can lead to the effective changing of our minds.
ဒီကောမြာလျာအနှံ့ဆိုတင်ချပါချင်ကိုယ်ပါဒီနေ့အဟမ်အပင်နေတွင်ကြောတွင်ကြောကြီးတင်လက်ကြပါရင်နာအနေချွေညာကလည်းခေါ်ပါရဲ့ညာဒီကညာကိုခေါ်ပါလိမ့်မယ်ဒီနေ့အဲညာပါတွင်သာသမ္တာယောပါလေညာမဲနာချွေထွေးနဲ့မဲနာတွင်သာသမ္တာယောပါတွင်သာသမ္တာမဲနာကောမြာယောပါလေဒီစားမဲတယ်အဲဒီတွင်ကြောလေကြောပါဒီတိုင်းဤတာညာပါ
In order to continue our spiritual development, to our mental development, to engage in virtuous practice, we have to have a suitable basis. If one falls into the low realms, spiritual development is almost completely impossible. For example, if one's born as an animal, one certainly can hear the sound of Dharma, and one can see a Dharma text, but one lacks the capacity to understand the meaning of a teaching or to be able to read. One's mental capacity is so impeded as an animal that spiritual development is not possible. And if one falls into the greater suffering realms as of the spirits or the hell realms, then one doesn't even have the opportunity of hearing the Dharma. So therefore, it's impossible to reflect on the meaning of the Dharma if one is not unable to receive teachings or to receive teachings. So if one falls into the lower realms, one lacks the opportunity to continue with our mental development. This is made clear in the first two lines, life after life. I'll never be born into realms of great suffering or unfavorable circumstances. This then is the aspiration here that is being made in this expression, life after life, is that in order to continue to attain, to continue our spiritual development, one needs a favorable rebirth. And this is required as long as one continues to take uncontrolled rebirth within cyclic existence. So until one becomes an Arya being, one requires through our prayer and virtuous conduct, one is reliant on attaining a favorable rebirth. So the aspiration here is even once one has developed a path within one's continuum, until that path becomes so profound that one is an Arya being, one needs to continue to, through the prayers and virtuous activity, attain a good rebirth. And this second line, great suffering or unfavorable circumstance, this refers to falling into the lower realms. So the lower realms are marked by the suffering of that being's experience being incomparably worse to what all that we are aware of, all that we have experienced. So here the aspiration that is being made is to never fall into the lower realms. And if not being born in the lower realms, then where should one be born? Well, that is in the happier migrations of a human or a god.
And
Amongst who, so where should one be aspiring to be born? Well, that would be a human or a god, but not even all the opportunities, not even all the god rebirths would be considered in this context a favorable rebirth, in that if one is born as a long life god, then one doesn't have the opportunity to practice. So one is aspiring to be born in particular as a human being, but not just any human being, because we know from our own observation in the world, many people do not have the opportunity to engage in spiritual development. So there could be physical impediments, such as being deaf and therefore not being able to hear teachings, or being blind and not being able to read texts, or having severe mental impediments, where one's analytical abilities are severely impeded, or to have other mental impediments, such as believing in wrong views, so willingly accepting wrong views, such as that the attainment of liberation from suffering or Buddhahood is impossible, or that the law of karma, cause and effect, that this does not exist, or the past and future lives, these don't exist. So a sincere belief in such wrong views, it also would serve as a mental impediment to one's spiritual progress. So when one is generating the wish for favorable circumstances, then this means not to be under the influence of these severe physical or mental impediments.
Lumba, as Milkevine, Mida, Halekevine, that one was Tawa, Chazan, Zubu Tambo, Chazan, Yevine, and Chick, Dogne, and the Chir Lakenji, Medica, Church and Guinea Medica, Lumba, Yenela, you talk of the Zulia, my Joshua, Momon.
Moreover, included in this prayer is the aspiration that merely attaining a good rebirth as a human or God, where one physically has no impediment to spiritual development, where mentally one has no impediment to spiritual development. But if one is born into a land where either the Buddha Dharma doesn't exist at all, or where there are no qualified teachers to train one, to guide one, then that would serve as a major impediment, of course, to one's spiritual development. So included in this, the aspirations being expressed in this prayer, is not to be born in a land without the Buddha Dharma and without qualified teachers. And where to be born, sir, but always gain a precious human form, blessed with every conducive provision. The conducive provision, then, this term refers to the freedoms and endowments, with the freedoms and leisures and opportunities. So here the aspiration is to be born with a complete freedoms and endowments. And that is what is meant by this term, conducive provision.
Yeah. Di That
Implied here in this verse then is the aspiration to attain a rebirth marked by the complete freedoms and endowments, all 18 of the freedoms and endowments. So that is implied through this term conducive provisions. Because these freedom and endowments we require in each and every rebirth so we can continue to develop spiritually and progress to the attainment eventually of an Arya, of the Arya states, where we no longer are in danger of, where we no longer will remain in taking uncontrolled rebirth in samsara. So the meaning then of the aspiration then that is being expressed is that in each and every future life, until we attain liberation from cyclic existence and we arise as an Arya being, we develop ourselves to the point where our mind becomes that of the noble beings, may we continue to attain rebirths marked with all 18 of these freedoms and endowments, a rebirth that, which means a rebirth where we have no physical or mental impediments to our spiritual development, where we are born in a land where the Buddha Dharma is flourishing and where there are qualified teachers. And not only do we have these conditions surrounding us, within us and surrounding us, but we have an aspiration to meet the Dharma. We do meet the Dharma, we have faith in our teacher, receive teachings, and not only do we receive many teachings, but we study them, we reflect on them, we meditate on them. And moreover, with this basis intact, we swiftly generate the minds of definite emergence, of bodhicitta, the wisdom realizing emptiness, and thereby attain the goals of liberation and enlightenment. And in order to do all of this, the very best basis is that of a precious human rebirth. Because it's on the basis of a human rebirth that is precious that one can attain, develop a path within oneself, a mental path, and attain liberation and enlightenment. If one is born in the low realms where there's an animal or a spirit or a hell being, this just is not possible. And if one attains an ordinary human rebirth, then that too is severely impeded, because if one has a severe physical impediment or a mental impediment, or if one has wrong views, then whilst one has a human rebirth, it's not what we refer to as a precious human rebirth, because one cannot develop sufficiently spiritually. So all of this meaning is contained within these two words, conducive provisions.
Then
It's possible here that when one sees that it's explicitly talking about a precious human form, that one may think, but what about being born as a god? Because whilst there are some gods who cannot practice the Dharma, there certainly are others that can, and I've heard that some foe destroyers and bodhisattvas are included amongst the gods. So they can certainly practice the Dharma, so shouldn't I maybe be aspiring for a god rebirth, because there it said that the happiness is so much greater than as a human, and if then how about aspiring for a god rebirth where one can practice the Dharma?
So in general, certainly it's not a fault to have an aspiration to be reborn as a god and continue one's spiritual progression there. We see in other contexts it's often expressed that the cause for attaining a rebirth as a human or as a god is the cultivation or the development of the mind of ethical conduct. So it's, we encourage you to practice ethics, and part of the encouragement is because one will attain a rebirth as a human or a god. So therefore, it wouldn't be wrong to have this aspiration for to be reborn as a god, especially knowing that they experience so much greater happiness than we do. But nevertheless, Jayaprasya specifically mentions here a precious human form. So he's not leaving it open to a human or a god. He's being very particular. And the reason for that is that even amongst the gods who can practice the Dharma, their opportunity is not as great as ours. We have attained a far greater opportunity for spiritual progression even than the gods. And this is because a rebirth as a god that is suitable to practice the Dharma still is not a fully qualified rebirth, in that there are impediments to the receiving of the vows of individual liberation and Tantra. So these vows cannot be received by a being born as a god, even if they can engage in spiritual practice. Whereas a precious human rebirth, we have a suitable basis to receive the vows of individual liberation, as well as to receive tantric vows and engage in actual tantric practice. So therefore, whilst both rebirths are worthy of aspiring to, and whilst a god rebirth has far greater pleasure that is to be experienced than a human rebirth is superior because of the far greater spiritual progression and development that is possible.
Dani, Jesus, Dani said, Dani said, 大家来呀，大人进行接话，他们觉得我做工作如果多，今年能做那也没事，但是没有，但是生意没有特别少，现在节日没去，也嘛，也嘛，我一年是多少的，也嘛，大人是也嘛，也嘛，咱一年忙不的那个，那，啊，说那工作，你来嘛接话些，那但是没有什么事，特别少，什么人接，但没人接呢，你接呢，没人接话，怎么接？那但是没有去参与的，特别的距离呀。 别对，你们接吧，因送过来的接吧，因是，那像上次一年是吧？那上次一年，我们接不就搞不了，那说说让大年是的，说说让，那接话起码呢，我说的按住，你给你来嘛接话些，那你但是有没有什么参与的，电脑不特别少，什么人家过来是送过来的，等等了。
Reading the verse again, then life after life may never be born into realms of great suffering or unfavorable circumstance, but gain always a precious human form, blessed with every conducive provision. So Jayarimpoche, in previous lives, he made this prayer, because in previous lives, he was in a position where he was in danger of falling to the lower realms and made this aspiration, may I not fall to the lower realms, I need to continue my spiritual progression and I cannot if I fall into the lower realms. And on the basis of this prayer and his virtuous activities, he continued to attain good rebirths and spiritually progress to a point where when this was composed, he was no longer facing the danger of falling into the lower realms. Yet nevertheless, the verse was expressed in this tense so that his students could then come to read this verse and apply it to themselves as personal instruction. Because his students, ourselves, we are in danger of falling to the lower realms. This doorway of falling to the lower realms has not been sealed yet. We have not sealed it yet. We are still in danger of falling into the lower realms. So therefore, the verse was composed in this way so that we can read it as personal instruction for ourselves. Make this aspiration that may we continue to attain only suitable basis, the basis of a human, of a precious human rebirth, to continue our spiritual development. Reading this verse, it's important that we apply our full understanding of the Dharma to this and everything else that we read, so that we can understand the vast intent of the author of this text. Because if we just have a superficial reading, then if that is what our understanding is, maybe that's probably then all our motivation is likely to be, quite a superficial motivation, wanting to receive a rebirth and a happy migration in all our future lives because we don't want to suffer. And in these future lives, sure, I'll continue to engage in spiritual progression because then I am happy and I'm also creating further causes to have good rebirths. So sure, I want good rebirths and I want to do some Dharma practice. But with such a motivation, this is really very superficial. We are capable of something much greater than this, much more powerful than this. So rather, we should be inspired by the reflection that we generated with the first verse, this reflection that came about when we went for refuge and generated bodhicitta, this motivation of wanting to attain enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. Seeing, so in the first verse, we generated this thought that all sentient beings want happiness, just like I do, and all want to be free of all frustrations and problems, but they have no idea how to attain such a state. I have met the Dharma. I know how to achieve a path and attain liberation and enlightenment. The entire path, the attainment of the entire path is possible for me. Therefore, it is my responsibility to guide those who lack a guide. It is my responsibility to teach those, to train those in how to develop the paths of the Buddha Dharma within themselves. In order to be able to fulfill this responsibility, I have to have the ability to be able to benefit beings, to lead beings, to train beings, to teach beings how to develop their own minds in accordance with their own specific personalities. So therefore, I must become a Buddha. And in order to attain this exalted state of Buddhahood, I need good rebirths, life after life after life. Never once born into the lower realms, never being overwhelmed by suffering that is so intense that I cannot spiritually progress and I remain separated from the Dharma, but rather always to have favorable conditions, the freedoms and endowments that mark a precious human rebirth. So with such a motivation, one recites this prayer, and then it's nothing superficial. This is a powerful prayer. It's this kind of prayer that Jaya Rinpoche had in mind when he composed this text, wanting us, wanting his students to be included in the paths of the Bodhisattvas.
That's what I'm saying. Malam jabdu dinese. Yang malam jabdu chigla ane thagi ni ya malam jabdu simjan tham je simjan ganji ni ya ngasong ngandru gi ne la ma che wa che ye da nyombo bu wong gi ngandru da ngasong gi ne ne su ma che wa ma che wa che ane den sa de ju mi lu ru mo to ba sho to wa simjan ganji ni den sa de ju mi lu ru mo to di den sa de ju mi lu ru mo to ba di den de le ya अने क्या बच्चे में चुए न्यामलन चेने अने न्यामलन थर चीज़ सांजो को फ़ा जो यूज़ थोपर शो सिमानम जागो ले जिले.
The second, so this is the first part of how to recite this prayer. The second part, the second mind to have presence as well, is to apply this aspiration to all sentient beings without exception. May all suffering sentient beings never again fall into the lower realms. May all those currently suffering there under the weight of their negative karma, may they attain liberation from those lower realms, and may all sentient beings come to meet the Buddha Dharma through having a rebirth marked by the 18 freedoms and endowments, and never again fall into the lower realms, but not, rather come into contact with the Dharma, generate faith, study, reflect, meditate, and rapidly progress to enlightenment. So this then would be the second part of the aspiration to have in mind when making such a prayer.
ये चीज़ मुझे उछाल हो रहा है जिस दिन मालूम देने की चाह भी होती है तो दिन सां दंजू मिलो रूम चें आना ही नहीं दिन सां मां दंजू मिलो रूम तो बहुत शोर से भी के जो असम जैन तम्जी दी जुबिया के तो अंदाला
This is how then to engage in prayer in this specific example as well as others. It's where one has on one hand that the direct aspiration for oneself to become a Buddha in order to be of greatest benefit to sentient beings. And then, as well as that, may all sentient beings also attain the state of Buddhahood too, the state of greatest bliss completely freed of suffering. So have both of these aspirations, once for oneself to become a Buddha to be of benefit to others, and others to become a Buddha. Have both of these present. We should approach our prayer, or our aspirational prayer, with this understanding, whatever the prayer is, with these two aspects. And then specifically, in the context of the second verse, may I attain a precious human rebirth, so that I can complete and perfect all good qualities and become a Buddha for the sake of others. And may all sentient beings, may they too attain precious human rebirth, so they can perfect and complete their own good qualities and become a Buddha for the sake of sentient beings. So when one makes the prayer with this motivating, with this guiding motivation, then one's yearning for the fulfillment of this prayer, the strength of one's aspiration is incomparably more intense. So this is the way to approach all aspirational prayers. It's important also to point out that whilst this aspiration, of course, this prayer is made with a powerful mind, serves great purpose. This alone will not lead to the attainment of a precious human rebirth. To achieve any result, the full and complete causes need to be accumulated. And the aspirational prayer, whilst it is a part of the causes, it is not the entire accumulation of causes at all. So the mere aspiration will not lead to the attainment of the result of a precious human rebirth. The full and complete causes need to be accumulated. What are the causes for precious human rebirth? Well, one certainly is prayer, these kinds of aspirational prayers. So this then, this verse and the motivating mind behind it, serves as a cause. But moreover then, the direct cause for a rebirth in the happy migrations of a human or a god is the practice of ethics, ethical conduct. And what is the practice of ethical conduct? So firstly, it is a mind. It's not behavior, it is a mind. It's not physical behavior, it's a mind. It is a mind of restraint that restrains or subdues one's way of thinking, one's and the resulting physical activity and verbal activity. So the more one reflects on the need for ethics, or the more one reflects on ethics, then the more one's mind is become subdued, and one's mind then turns away from going in a harmful direction or unwholesome direction, and thereby the resulting harmful activity, or verbal or physical activity, is either completely prevented or reduced in strength and frequency. And the more one reflects on ethics, the stronger this ethical mind becomes within oneself, the stronger the subduing of non-virtuous behavior becomes, and thereby, through the strength of this ethical mind, we create the causes for good rebirth, a rebirth as a human or God. And the more we reflect on ethics, the stronger this mind of ethical conduct becomes within us, and thereby, the stronger the causes, the more powerful the causes we create to attain a good human rebirth. The direct cause for a rebirth as a human or God is the practice of ethical conduct. But as we know from our own observation in the world, many human beings, one could hardly say that they have the conducive circumstances to be able to practice the Buddha Dharma, or to be frank, to engage in any serious kind of spiritual development because of the severity of suffering that they experience. And if one is overwhelmed by misery, it is very difficult to cultivate virtuous minds in oneself. It's very difficult to have the free time and the mental space that is required to engage in sustained practice of spiritual development. So therefore, the attainment of a good rebirth is insufficient to be a suitable basis for our continued spiritual development. What we also require is good material conditions. At the very least, we need to be separated from impoverishment, but moreover, we need good material conditions to enable us to continue our spiritual progression. And the good material conditions, these don't come about causelessly. These come about due to our cultivation of the appropriate causes. And that is the practice of generosity. The cultivation of the mind of generosity leads to the result of good material conditions in future lives.
Here we spoke about creating the causes for human rebirth, cultivating the mind of ethics, which is a mind of restraint. And then secondly, in order to attain good material conditions in future lives, we need to generate the mind of generosity, which is the mind wanting to give, the mind wanting to help. And then thirdly, so as to ensure that in future rebirths, we don't suffer from physical impediments such as blindness and deafness, which serve to impede our spiritual development, as well as not having harmonious relationships with others or being able to positively influence others, we need to cultivate further good qualities. And that is the practice of patience. The practice of patience, then, is, like with all Buddhist practices, it's a mental development. The practice of patience is a mind that stays undisturbed in the face of adversity. It's a mind that stays calm and gentle and spacious, no matter what one is encountering from outer conditions or inner conditions. One's mind stays calm and undisturbed. This is the mind of patience, or the practice of patience. And through cultivating the mind of patience, we create the causes that will ripen in the results of not having severe physical impediments, such as our sense powers, such as sight, sound, taste, etc., being impeded, as well as having harmonious relationships with others, easily making friends and getting on with people, and being able to positively influence others and benefit others. These are the results that come from practicing patience.
Lohde Chöyada,
so we've spoken about several of the causes required to have attain a rebirth that is most suited to our spiritual progression. So we started looking at aspiration, then the mind of ethics, the mind of generosity, and the mind of patience. Then the fourth cause that one needs to accumulate is the mind of joyous perseverance. So the mind of joyous perseverance is a mind that takes delight in virtue, a joyous mind that delights in engaging in virtuous activities. So this is a mind that serves, so if we generate this mind repeatedly in this life and thereby create the causes for it in our future lives, this will be experienced by us in our future lives, naturally taking delight in virtue, which means when we meet the path of virtue, when we meet the Buddha Dhamma, we will experience great joy, great interest, and aspiration to accomplish the Dharma within ourselves. And we'll want to receive teachings, we'll want to reflect on those teachings, and strive for the goals of enlightenment. And this will also then mean we won't be obscured by wrong views, such as doubt over whether enlightenment is possible, doubt over whether there are past and future lives, or whether karma actually is valid or not. So these results come from the cultivating the mind of joyous perseverance. And the way that this is experienced is that when one has come to generate a great aspiration
to achieve the goals of the Dharma, then whenever one has the opportunity to progress towards those goals, delight arises within one's self, because one is joyous at having the opportunity to practice virtue, such as, for example, when the mind of attachment arises, or any other affliction, taking delight in the opportunity to overcome that mind, to apply the antidote and turn away from it, taking delight in the opportunity to cultivate patience and turn away from the afflictive minds of anger, taking delight in having the opportunity to reflect, to meditate on our teachings, and to receive further teachings. So this, all these are signs of joyous perseverance, and through cultivating this in this life, these causes mean that in our future lives, we will easily have faith in the Buddha Dharma and in qualified teachers and want to continue our spiritual progression. So these are the five causes which are required to have a fully accomplished precious human rebirth. The first was that of stainless prayer, and that's what we have here in this verse. Thereafter we spoke about cultivating ethical conduct, the mind of restraint, a subdued mind. Then thirdly would be the practice of generosity, the mind wanting to give, the mind wanting to help. Then fourthly, the mind of patience, the mind that stays undisturbed in the face of adversity. And then fifthly, the practice of joyous perseverance, a mind that delights in engaging in virtue. And if we accomplish these five well, then we can be certain that through the accumulation of the cause, the result will follow. And even if we happen to change our mind and decide, actually, who wants a good human rebirth? I want to go to the lower realms. That will not be possible because of the strength of the causes we have accumulated. Then certainty can be attained that this life has been lived well and a good rebirth will follow.
So these then are the causes to attain further precious human rebirths.
And sitting here though, having the wish to attain liberation and enlightenment for the sake of others, then we should be cultivating even more powerful causes in accumulating additional causes to those powerful causes already, to ensure that not only do we have a good, precious human rebirth, but our future rebirths, we are able to progress ever more rapidly to the attainment of liberation and enlightenment. So those additional causes then, there are two additional causes to accumulate. The first is the mind of concentration. So we all have, to varying degrees, a mind of concentration. But this then specifically refers to single-pointed concentration, where one can hold any object undistractedly for a great duration of time. And if one has accomplished single-pointed concentration, or the mind of calm abiding, then one's spiritual progression is incomparably more rapid because of the strength of one's mind. So the way we are cultivated in this life is either through holding an object, such as the Buddha image, in a way that's undistracted and trying to cultivate it that way, or through when engaging in other forms of meditation that we've already mentioned, such as that of ethics or generosity or patience or joyous perseverance, that in that meditation, when we come to a conclusion, a result, and this feeling arises within us, hold that in a concentrated way. And the more we do this, we slowly start to create ever stronger familiarity, habituation to the mind of concentration. In other words, our mind becomes ever more concentrated. And even in this life, if we don't achieve calm abiding, we have achieved greater habituation to a more concentrated mind. Then in our next life, we can be sure our mind will be less distracted and easily drawn to objects of desire than it is in this life. So in this way, we create a good habituation. And then the second mind is that of wisdom. So if we cultivate an ever stronger mind of wisdom, because we all already have wisdom, we cultivate that ever stronger in this life, we will have a greater familiarity with it in our future lives, meaning our intellect will be sharper in our future lives than it is in this life. So how to strengthen our intellect? Well, wisdom refers to, there are many types of wisdom, but what it means here is strengthening our analytical, our investigative mind. So reflecting on, for example, we suffer. So our suffering, where does that come from? What are the causes? And then investigating, using the analysis. And we hear, and then about happiness. So how does one achieve happiness? Investigating those causes. So here we're using our investigation, our analytical mind, and this is sharpening our intellect. And likewise, of course, thinking about reality, investigating how objects appear and whether they exist in the way that they appear. So investigating reality, coming to understand emptiness. However we use our analytical mind in this virtuous context, this serves to cultivate wisdom. And in this way, even if we don't realize emptiness in this life, due to analyzing, for example, the path to liberation, all the various minds we need to cultivate in order to attain liberation, this serves to strengthen our intellect, strengthen our wisdom, and through these imprints, then we'll have a greater propensity in our future lives to wisdom, and more easily be able to cultivate the various paths within us.
That in it, that the Jimmy Rimbush Toba shows Monlam Jap, in it, and the Jimba, Tulim, Serva, Sundry, Sunday, Sheraki, Yamlin Chevaina, Jawa Chima, then Jimmy Rimbush Toyata, then Delia, Juki Chen Yam Yahochia, that the Yimbarwa, Dimase, Tedil Samtawi, Nian Juki, Chike, and it, Jimba, Jimmy Yam Chiata, Tulim Yam Chevaina, that Jimmy Yam Chevana, Susanangi. 先来偏僻给托南的这个所属弱化先来开始接触给你接回来那我所属上先来刚刚有人这个偏僻给先来偏吧那让你呢这个所属人来几乎先来判断接触要不就是什么什么其他那没想到给你我到底没这个按照了弱化接触判断要不接触是没想到的所属人来先提及接不用来的那初中的时候用的初中的时候那按照给
So the cultivating the causes for a precious human rebirth, with these being that of making prayers, of ethical conduct, of generosity, patience, and then enjoys perseverance, as well as the additional causes to aid our spiritual progression in future lives of concentration and wisdom. If we do this, we can be certain of continuing to attain good rebirths, and doing so life after life, continuing our spiritual progression and our ability to be of benefit to others, being ever enhanced. But moreover, the benefits of spiritual training don't only come in future lives. We will experience change within ourselves in this very life, and moreover, those that we come into contact with, especially those who know us well, they will see a change in us. They will experience us very, very differently. The impact we have on them will be very different from the impact that we've had up to this point. So to look at that briefly, through engaging in the practice of ethical conduct, that means our mind becomes subdued. It becomes tamed. We are no longer so under the control of this wild, untamed mind that's leading us in directions that bring harm to others. Rather, we have taken far more control of our own mind, and that means we don't physically engage in activities that bring harm to others. So there will not be any, for example, physical conflict in one's home. Likewise, the way we communicate with others will be completely transformed. We will not talk down to others. We will not abuse others or swear at others. or to talk in a divisive way behind others' back. And this comes from having a subdued mind, a tamed mind, a mind that is not drawn strongly towards objects of desire or wanting to bring harm to others or to wrong views. This will be a subdued mind, and thereby our mind will be far lighter and more open and relaxed, because it's not being drawn to these objects of desire and harm or confused by wrong views. And thereby we cause less problems to others, as well as being much happier within ourselves. And for the mind of generosity, where we develop a mind that wants to give to others, that wants to help others in accordance with our ability. So when we don't only have this mind, but we act under its influence, we directly help others, reducing their suffering. This brings joy to others, and it brings joy to us. Others then appreciate us more and relate to us in a different way. So through cultivating this mind, there's benefit for ourselves immediately as well as for others. And then the mind of patience, then this too results when our mind stays undisturbed in the face of adversity, when we are no longer getting annoyed anymore, no matter what we encounter, whether it's people or situations or our own inner turmoil, when our mind is no longer being disturbed by that, we are able to respond skillfully and be of great assistance to others who may be overwhelmed by their own afflictions, and help calm the situation, pacify the problems that others are experiencing, and be of immediate benefit to others, whilst our own mind is staying light, relaxed, and spacious. So immediately benefit comes to a mind that is well-trained, benefit for ourselves and others. And then similarly with the mind of joyous perseverance, we're wanting to engage in virtue, and through this, our qualities are ever enhanced. Whatever minds we are trying to develop, these our development will be greatly enhanced, much more rapid, because of this mind of joyous perseverance. And similarly, a mind of concentration. This is a mind that doesn't get drawn to desirous objects or drawn in a harmful way towards others. All this over-conceptualization, this is subdued. And our mind is much more peaceful and spacious, and then we are happier, and a way of interacting with others is therefore one of that is more peaceful and relaxed. And then lastly, with wisdom. As our wisdom becomes stronger, we are not going to be engaging in harmful activities, because we'll understand very clearly what is a harmful activity and what is a beneficial activity. And moreover, our own practice will be that much more successful, because we will have overcome doubt, our wisdom will be so much greater, and our practice will be that much more powerful. So therefore, all these practices that lead to a good rebirth in future lives have a beneficial impact in this very life for ourselves as well as for others. If you think in the context of the Lamrim presentation, which is divided into the differing practices in accordance with the beings of varying capacities, then this is the practice we've been hearing here is about the practices of a being of small capacity.
Kitchen
Some
And then it's the Gondalia, Tamaniga Lama Dilla, and during a case you can to Batamje, Nesimje, Tamje, to Mala to the San Yoko, Tensan, then you do too much talk. He didn't tell ya, and just you send not only to be shed up Yamne, passion to be Yamne, Chichi, San Yoko, you to be Kuru or Show, Simonamje, Tamade, Monamje, or do Sine, as you, in the Dingi, share it up, yet you go up there, and Yamne, I didn't it, what I'll do sometime.
The advice then that Jinpuche is giving to us in this prayer that's expressed here in the second verse is relating to our motivation that we should be establishing at the beginning of the day. So that would be the beginning, as well as the motivation that we need to remind ourselves of to regenerate throughout the day, being the middle, and the motivation to have in mind when we come to the end of our day and we come to dedicate our virtue accumulated that day. So this verse then, all that is meant, that is implied, directly stated and implied in the meaning of the second verse, is to be practiced at the beginning, middle, and end. So when we get up in the morning, we should try and cultivate the habit to immediately turn our mind towards objects of refuge, the three jewels, and our root teacher, and to turning our mind towards them with a mind of faith and respect, and join our hands together in prostration, and then having generated faith and respect, that it's through cultivating their teachings within our own minds that we will attain protection from suffering, we then can go about generating the mind of bodhicitta. And this then is done by reminding ourselves that there's no difference between myself and others in that we all want to experience only happiness. No one wants to have the problems and difficulties that they are experiencing and that lie before them today. Everyone wants to only experience happiness. And then, having generated this recognition of closeness between self and other, that having overcome the sense of feeling of difference or separation between self and other, we then remind ourselves further of the relationship we have with others. That everything that we have in our life that we value, that we appreciate, we have achieved independence on the kindness of others. And this then refers both to our material good conditions that we experience in our life, so everything that is material that we have comes about independence on others, but so too the immaterial, such as our mental good qualities and our virtue. This, we have accumulated independence on others. So everything that we have that is good in our life, whether inner or outer, was accumulated independence on the kindness of mother sentient beings. Reflecting on this generates the wish to repay that kindness, seeing how inappropriate it would be to ignore the needs of others who show us such kindness. And how then to repay that kindness? Well, it's the inner wish of all beings, not just myself, not just my loved ones, but all beings, is to experience lasting happiness and to be completely freed of suffering. Here we generate the wish, may these sentient beings, these mother sentient beings who have shown me so much kindness, may they experience only happiness. May they be completely separated from suffering. And this is an aspirational prayer. Here we're making prayers, may all beings experience only happiness. May they be freed of all suffering. And then further, we take this prayer and we generate the mind of special intention, this altruistic mind, where we take responsibility for the welfare of others. Where we generate the mind that takes responsibility for others attaining lasting happiness and being freed of suffering, knowing that we have attained the knowledge of the paths to be developed within ourselves to be completely freed of suffering. We have this knowledge. We know how to develop this within ourselves.
And therefore, it is our responsibility to help others who do not have this knowledge achieve that same state. And in order to be able to fulfill this, I have to become a Buddha, the most skilled of guides. This is the only way to help others. So this then too is an aspiration, a prayer. And this, when it's combined with this thought, I will become a Buddha for the sake of others, this prayer, this aspiration, is the mind of aspiring bodhicitta. So now in our morning meditation, we've generated the mind of bodhicitta. And then we can specifically then refer to what's being expressed overtly in this verse. Now that I have a precious human rebirth, I need to continue to use this life well to ensure that in life after life I progress towards the attainment of enlightenment through the cultivation of the minds of the Mahayana Dhamma. And then here we generate this aspiration to continue to have good rebirths in order to be able to practice the Mahayana Dhamma for the sake of others. So we're making further aspirational prayers, the first of the causes for attaining good rebirths. And here we generate the mind of ethical conduct, this commitment not to harm others in any way. And as we've cultivated the mind of bodhicitta already, it's very easy to develop a mind of ethics, because a mind that brings harm is contrary to the mind of bodhicitta. And likewise, we then intentionally generate the mind of generosity, the wish to help others. And here it's very easy to generate this wish to help others, because we've cultivated bodhicitta. And here we make the commitment that today, whenever I have the opportunity to help others, may I embrace it. May I help others physically where I have their capacity. May I help others through advice, through verbally helping others, where I have the capacity and the relationship with others. And may I always ensure that I have a mind wanting to help others present. And in this way, may I help others materially, physically, verbally, guided by an altruistic attitude. Then we generate the third practice, the mind of patience. We cultivate this mind that whatever adversity I encounter today, whether it's from my own negative minds or from negative minds of others, may I transform this adversity and keep my mind joyous and spacious and wanting to benefit others no matter what adversity I experience. Here we cultivate the mind of patience. And again, this is a mind that now will be easy to cultivate because of having cultivated bodhicitta. And then the fourth practice, that of joyous perseverance, taking delight in these virtuous minds, wanting to develop them ever more strongly, wanting to interact others, wanting to meet others, and help them and guide them as best we can. And here we then can generate joy, not just in what we're doing in our meditation, but we can look around us at the joy, at the virtue others are accumulating and generate joy. And this is something that we can do in our meditation sessions, right here in our retreat. Generate joy at having this opportunity. Generate joy in those around us who have created the causes to also have this opportunity. And then in terms of concentration, we can either, because we started out going for refuge to the three jewels and our teachers, we can hold that visual object single-pointedly and strengthen our mind of concentration. Or throughout these meditations on ethical conduct, generosity, patience, and joyous perseverance, whenever those minds have arisen within us, hold those single-pointedly. And in this way, we strengthen our habituation to concentration. And then in terms of wisdom, we can reflect on cause and effect. We want to achieve the result of good rebirths, so as we can achieve the result of liberation from suffering, so as we can achieve enlightenment for the sake of others. Those are results we want. And those results come about in dependence on causes, and those causes we are accumulating now. So here we reflect on cause and effect, strengthens our wisdom. And we can, in accordance with our knowledge on reality, we can reflect on how no phenomenon exists inherently. All phenomena are empty of true existence. Moreover, phenomena are dependent arisings, whether on causes or whether on imputation by mind. And in this way, we can strengthen our wisdom. So this kind of reflection is something that I would encourage you to do each morning.
It can be done just in a few minutes if you don't have time. This has taken about 5 minutes to present to you. You can just repeat it quickly like this. Or if you have, say, 15 minutes, you can do so with a little bit of a detailed analysis. And do this every morning. Remind yourself of it during the day. And then again at night. And then at night, the one thing to add is to rejoice in the virtue you've accumulated that day. Generate regret for any negativities that you have done with a commitment to try not to do them again, and then dedicate the virtue. And in this way, the same prayer becomes a dedication because it's done with a substance which is the virtue that has been accumulated. And this is how we can do this practice in the morning, in the middle, and the end. We'll finish here then for today. Then tomorrow we'll look at the next verse, which is about how to skillfully guard one's individual liberation vows.